Amen. God bless you. Those of you that were here last Sunday will know that I was preaching and teaching about we accuse God sometimes of breaking his promise. And we say, this isn't what you promised me, Lord. Well, I want to develop that theme a little bit further this morning. Because when we're dealing with the promises of God, and we find a promise, or we know God's said something, or we're praying about something, you know, sometimes we might get to that place where we feel like we actually never get the fulfillment. You know, a little bit like the Israelites that I was sharing with last week. You know, they came, you know, why? When are we going to get into the promised land? You know, when is this going to take place? You know, look, you haven't promised us, or what you promised us you haven't delivered and you haven't brought us into. And we feel like that very often. You know, we can be praying about something for years and years, and, you know, sometimes we can be in the place where we don't actually feel any closer to the fulfillment of it. In actual fact, we might feel further away than where we were when we first began believing and trusting God. You know, last week we talked about wanting everything now. You know, we live in an instant society. You know, when we pray a prayer, we want God to answer it immediately. Now, sometimes God will. Sometimes we have to wait. Let me encourage you with this. That there is one prayer that you can pray, which you will be guaranteed to receive an instant answer. And that's the prayer you pray. Lord, save me. You don't have to wait. The moment when you pray that prayer with sincerity of heart, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. It's instant. You have an instant answer. But one of the issues we face, and this is what I want to deal with this morning, is the time factor between us standing in faith and receiving the manifestation, or receiving the answer. The pressure of time is one of the greatest enemies of our faith. It wears away at our excitement about something, or our zeal for something. You know, when we pray, when we first get into prayer, we first start trusting God, we're so excited and we're bubbling up and we're rejoicing and everything's good. But as over the process of time, that excitement is worn away, that zeal is worn away. And what time does is steals our hope. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to look at a man who had to wait in faith for quite a while. And we're going to see how he handled this pressure of time. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures this morning to read, and I trust we'll get through them. But we're going to go first to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, the brothers, I trust, will keep up with the scriptures on the screen, but I'm going to read them. And I probably won't wait for them to catch up. I'll just read and they will catch up. Now it says, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now the Lord spoke to Abraham, or Abram as he's known in this chapter. And he says, look, he says, Abram, he says, I want you to leave your family, leave your home, leave your country where you were born, leave the place where you were brought up. He says, because I'm going to show you some great things. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great. Now, I'm going to make you a great nation. Here, God was promising him when he was, and we take note of the times, the ages, that the scripture gives us for Abram. It says he was 75 years old, and God said to him, I'm going to make you a great nation. You are going to have, the only way you can become a great nation is to have children. You can't make a nation without the birth of a child. So, if he was going to become a great nation, he needed to give birth to children. Well, not him personally, but he needed to be the father. It says, now I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you, all the families, all the groups, all the ethnic groups of the world are going to be blessed. All the nations. And it says that Abraham did as the Lord spoke to him. He left his home. He took Lot with him, his nephew. And the Bible tells us he was 75 years of age when he received that promise from God. Now, God over the years, as we will see, continued to repeat that promise to him. Abram, you are going to be the father of many nations. You're going to become a great nation. So let me turn over into chapter 15. In chapter 15, verse 1, just a little while later, it says this, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And it says here in verse 6 of Abram, it says, he believed in the Lord and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, what's happened here over the process of time, and this is just a few years, Abraham's begun to fear. That pressure of time has begun to eat away at the excitement he had when he left Haran when he was 75 years of age. And God has to appear to him, and he says to him, he says, Abraham, he says, don't be afraid. He says, I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. You know, Abram, just keep trusting me. He says, I'm your shield, I'm your protector. I'm the one who protects you in the way you're to go, and I am your exceedingly great reward. I am going to bless you. And then Abram came up with this reasoning. Look, he says, Lord, he says, the only one I've got that is going to fulfill the promise that you have given me is my servant here. You know, but I need offspring to be an heir. He's not my, he's going to receive everything I've got. And God says to him, no, he is not the one. He is not the one. One that will come from your own body shall be your heir. You know, basically what he's saying is, a little bit like we were saying last week, you said, well, when, God, when will this take place? When's it going to happen? You keep promising me descendants, but there doesn't seem to be any answer to this promise or any manifestation of this promise. There doesn't seem to be an answer to the prayer I've been praying all these years. When? And that's how we very often approach God, as we said last week. We must believe, and this is number one. you know, in the pressure of time, through the pressures of time, we've got to keep on believing that God is our exceeding great reward. God is the one who's going to bless us. God is the one who's going to keep his word. And then it goes on, because after this encounter, when Abram hears the word of God, it says that he, and I'm assuming Sarah with him, believed in the Lord. You know, they trusted God. You know, they're back on track. You know, and they're thanking God for the promise. And they're focused in on him, they're clued in, they're saying, yes, we believe you, Lord. And it says here, God accounted it to him as righteousness. God considered him or reckoned him righteous. Now, righteousness is not doing good works. Righteousness is not following a pattern or a lifestyle pattern. It's not saying, well, I'm good. You know, I do this, I help the poor, I give to this one. That's not righteousness. That's just good works. And good works will never get you into heaven. Righteousness is believing and trusting in God. Amen. Righteousness is believing and trusting. And that's why it says when he believed in the Lord, then God reckoned it to him as righteousness. When he believed, God said, okay, Abram, that's righteousness. I'm putting that on your account as righteous, that faith. What does the Bible tell us in the book of Hebrews? You don't need to turn this off, but it's a very well-known scripture. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, what's it say? He must believe that he is. When we come to God, we've got to believe that he is. And it goes on in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 and says that. We must also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, if we're trusting God for something, or we've been praying about something, then I'm not going to put out whatever it might be on there, because we pray about many different things. Sometimes we have to wait. And that pressure of time eats away at us. It takes our excitement. It takes our zeal. It steals our hope, if we allow it. But what we've got to do is keep on believing that God is our reward. He is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, Abraham and his wife are back on track. Come with me into chapter 16, Genesis 16. Now, we've progressed a little in their life. We are now in chapter 16, about 10 years after Abram left Haran. In verse 16 of this chapter, it tells us that Abram was 86 years old. So we're about 10 years on. And what do we get in verse 2? Sarai, his wife, comes to Abram, and she says to him, look, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of his wife. So he's somewhere in the region of 85 years, because when Ishmael is born, it says he's 86. And he and Sarah have waited 10 years for God to fulfill his promise to them. And here she is. She started to fail again. She started to what's keeping God with his promise? You know, this pressure of time. You know, he's restrained me. He stopped me from having children. There's no way God's going to be able to do this. He's never going to be able to fulfill his promise. So she says, Abram, I've got an idea. She said, I want you to take my maidservant Hagar, have a child with her. Maybe that's the way God wants it to be. And Abram, because he was he wanted to please his wife, he goes, okay. That was his Forrest Gump moment. Okay, he says. Okay. You know, now we know. We know with hindsight, as we look back, you know, we know this is wrong. But we do the same. The pressure of time. Well, maybe we try and help God along. We do things, we make decisions, we make choices. Okay, well, maybe God wants us to do this then, and we go and we chase after something, but we're actually stepping off of the plan of God for us. You know, we gear our lives somewhere else. And we make the same mistakes, trying to help God out, trying to fulfill the promise of God ourselves. Well, what we have to do, and we see that God actually brings them round, because they make this mistake, they make this error, Ishmael is born. And as you know, and I'm not going to repeat it because we've looked at it several times, the problem with between Ishmael and Isaac is still ongoing. Why? Because Abraham and Sarah thought that they might try and solve the issue themselves. Do it themselves. Yes, God, you've promised it. God had promised something and they were on track. But because it wasn't happening as quickly as they liked, they thought, well, if we just do this, we make this decision, we'll put ourselves in the place. And that's where the decisions went wrong. What we've got to do, and Abraham is challenged by God in chapter 17. And actually, we read this verse on Wednesday night. So it says here in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old. Now, chapter 16, verse 16, he's 86. Now we are 13 years later. The next verse comes 13 years later. There's a gap of 13 years where they've messed up with the plan of God. They've messed up. Well, as far as that's concerned, God's fulfilled his promise. But God hasn't fulfilled his promise. Because the promise was that one would come, and it wouldn't be through Ishmael. It would be the promised one. Sarah's got to give birth to this child. So it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, at 99 years of age, Abraham has this promise reaffirmed. God comes to him, he says to him, Abraham, he says, look, this is what's going to happen. This is what I promised you. You are going to be the father of many nations, and because all you're doing at the moment is messing things up. Now, I'm guessing somewhere in this 13 years, they've completely forgotten all about the promise of God. They've got Ishmael. As far as they're concerned, that's it. This young lad now, 13 years of age, and they're enjoying him. He's their child, their only child. But God comes back on scene and says, Abram, I am Almighty God. I am all that you need. This is what the Almighty God is. This is the name El Shaddai. God reveals himself to Abram by a fresh name. A name he had never known. And he says to him, Abram, he says, I am everything that you need. Now, unfortunately, the word Almighty in the English doesn't convey quite what was being said here. It's probably the best word the translators had at the time. But this is talking about God who is more than enough to take care of the situation. Actually, the word, if you take it right back to its the very root of it, it talks about from the breast. You know what it's like when you have a newborn baby. Everything that baby needs for life and growth comes from the mother. And she feeds it, she suckles it, she looks after it, she provides for it. And what Abraham was hearing from God here was exactly the same. He said, Abraham, everything you need, everything you require, everything you need for this promise, for life, comes from me. Amen. You've tried and you've messed up. Now, come back to me. Come back to me. Return to me. He says, I'm going to make my covenant between me and you. And I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And then he goes on, he says, my covenant is with you. But he says, you're not going to mess this one up, Abram. He says, so to show you that you're not going to mess this up, what I am going to do is, I've got to change your name. You've got to change your language. And what God said to him, he says, look, from now on, you're going to be called Abraham. What God was doing was putting a new language in, a new terminology in his mouth. So every time somebody asked him, he said, what's your name? He says, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. He's beginning to put God's promise in his mouth now. I am the father of many nations. I've only got one, but I'm the father of many nations. My name is Abraham. Abraham. And God changes his name, so now every time he uses that, he's repeating the promise of God. He's repeating the promise of God. Yet God is making me a great nation. Now, in chapter 18, we see that, and this is still, Abraham is still 99 years of age. In chapter 18, verse 10, the Lord appears to them. And the Lord says to them, he says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Now Sarah was listening in at the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. So, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, says, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Here it comes, number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, the Lord promises them again. Now, Abraham's still on track. He's repeating, he's got the promise of God in his mouth. He's talking, my name's Abraham, I'm the father of many nations. And now within just a short space of time, because Abraham's clued in, he's focused in, the Lord appears and says, at the set time, actually, he said, this time, next year, you're going to have a son. And this Sarah laughs and says, am I going to have a child at my age? Is anything too hard for them? 24 years now have passed since they received that first promise. The pressure of time was worn away at them. You know, you could see just by their language. Where's this promise? You know, why am I still praying for this? You know, isn't God going to answer my prayer? The pressure of time is getting to them. But now the Lord promises them, that they're going to have a son. You know, they're almost on the verge of the manifestation of their prayers, this promise. You know, even just in the sake of the length of time they've been waiting, 24 years, they've only, and they don't know this, but they've only got 1 year, actually they've only got 9 months or so to go, before the birth of Isaac. And that right at the verge of the manifestation, they're right at the verge of getting the answer to their prayers, and they almost blow it. Sarah, how can I have a child at my age? She almost blows it. But thank God they stay on track. Now we read great words in chapter 21, verse 5. It says, now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. They get the answer to their prayer. Now we've traced through this timeline of Abraham. You know, Abraham had to learn with the help of God for changing his language, his vocabulary. He had to learn the secret of maintaining that confession of hope. Yes, he had difficulties. He faced the pressures of time, like we all do. His faith was challenged, like ours is. Yes, he made mistakes, like we do. But what did God say about him? Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Because now we've gone through, we've seen what the scripture said in Genesis about Abram. Now how, we've seen the mistakes they made. We've seen the issues that they faced. You know, how they were, oh, I don't see how God can meet this need. I don't see how God can answer my prayer. I don't see how God can fulfill his promise. But in chapter 4 of Romans chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist, as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he, talking about Abraham, became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So all your descendants be, so shall your descendants be. Then verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, is this the same man that we just read about? We've just seen his failures in faith, his challenges to his faith, but God says of him, he says, he's not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, talking about God, had promised, God was also able to perform. Now what we actually have is a snapshot of that last year in that walk with God. While he was about 100 years of age, when God changed his vocab, got him online, got him repeating the promises, he was hanging on to this confession of hope. Now we have a changed man. We haven't got a man who's wavering up and down, like I said last week, but we've got a man who's, well, let me read what it actually says in verse 21, because I like these words. It says, and being fully convinced, totally persuaded, you couldn't move him from the promise. It didn't matter how much you told him it wasn't going to be. Abraham would have brushed it off. He says, look, he said, I'm absolutely convinced, totally persuaded, that what God had promised, God was going to bring to pass. He was going to perform. He just did what God did. He just did what God told him to do. He started by, verse 17 says, he called those things that did not exist as though they did. All he was doing was just putting the promise of God in his mouth. God, this is what you promised me. Thank you, Lord, that you promised me this. Now, I may not know how you're going to do it. I may not know how you're going to work it out, but thank God that you've given me this promise. He's standing in faith. He's standing strong. He's repeating the promise to himself. He's going over it. He's meditating upon it. Every time somebody asks him his name, he comes up, he puts the promise in his mouth. My name's Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. He's talking the promise. He's talking the word of God. He's not considering the problems in his body. He's not considering that he's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. Sarah's past the child, the age of childbearing anyway. They don't consider any of the problems. They're just putting the promise in their mouths. He's considering that God was his exceeding great reward. God was El Shaddai. God was his shield, his protector. He's not moved by the situation. He's not moved by the circumstance. He's not even giving it any thought. He's totally convinced. He's totally persuaded that what God has now promised him, why? Because he's had this revelation that he's El Shaddai. What God has promised him, God is going to bring it to pass. He's totally convinced. Hebrews puts it like this. In Hebrews 10:23 it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. We read it last week. Again, a little bit later on in that chapter, in verse 35, Hebrews 10:35, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, he said, therefore, he said, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't throw it away. Don't brush it off. Keep your confession. Keep your hope alive. Keep stirring it up by repeating the word of God. Actually, let's go. Hebrews 6, Brother Gerald. Let's turn to Hebrews 6 and see what the scripture says here as we close. Hebrews 6 verse 11 says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. When is the end? When you've received the answer to your prayer. You know, keep showing that diligence. Be the same. Continue doing what you know is right to do. Keep your confession of hope. So that you do not become sluggish. So you don't give up. You don't quit. You know how many people, you know, I believe this, that one day we're going to stand, when we stand before the Lord, and those of us, perhaps if we've quit and given up, it's going to be sad for a lot of people. Because I believe that God will say, if you could have just waited just another week, another month, you would have received all that I promised. But you quit. You gave up. You gave up on your faith. You gave up on your hope. Don't be sluggish. Don't become sluggish. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And now he refers to Abraham. He says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And verse 15 says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He patiently endured. That doesn't mean he just let the time go. Patience here means being consistent in doing what you know is right to do. After he had patiently endured, he received the answer. Now, I've got a good friend in the UK. Well, I say a good friend. He's a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine. And he wrote in a book once, and I just wanted to share this with you as I finish. There is no expiry date on the promises of God. Amen. There is no expiry date. You know, when you look through your cupboards and you see the food, oh, this is going to be used by next week, and you see that little date printed on the packet, and then you think, oh, I don't know whether it's good now because it's the date's passed. Perhaps you throw it away, maybe you eat it. But there's no expiry date when it comes to the promises of God. And if you've let go of a promise, or you've given up on a prayer that you've been praying about, because of time, you think, oh, well, it's not going to happen. I've been praying for years and years, and it's just not going to be. I want to encourage you this morning just to go back and pick it up again. Go back and just, okay, God, I'm coming back to you. I repent of my failure. Pick up the promise, pick up the prayer, and then run with it. And God will bring it to pass. God will perform it. Because there's no expiry date. If God's promised it, He is faithful. He will perform it. Is there a scripture that backs that up? I believe so. So I'm going to read this as I finish. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. It's right at the end of the Old Testament. It's one of the shorter books in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So it's about five books from the end. In Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2, the prophet here prays it. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. I heard what you said. I heard the promise, but I was afraid. I got into fear. I got into unbelief. I let it go. I give up. I quit. And then he prays his prayer. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I heard it once, I quit, I gave up, I got into fear. But he said, revive that, restore that, bring it back. In all these years, in the midst of all these years, these wasted years, these lost years, revive it, Lord. I want to pick it up, I want to run with it. And then he says, in the midst of the years also, make it known. Bring it to pass. Amen. Amen.
Let's give it a hand.